Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shank Show.
Hour number two of the Midday Sports Zone. That's her. Welcome back to the Shops at River Crossing Wild Wing Cafe. Russ Brown and Skip Sato with you. Taking your phone calls at 478-646-ESPN is the number to dial. We are here at the Wild Wing Cafe. I want to tell you who's on the stage this weekend. Ethan Payne will be entertaining the folks here tonight. And then tomorrow it is Throttle 21. Of course, I'll have all the Braves baseball for you this weekend on the TVs here, the NBA playoffs, as well as the Kentucky Derby tomorrow with the post time at 6:50. You okay over there?
Yeah, I was just Throttle 21.
Throttle 21.
It's kind of a cool name.
That is kind of a cool name. What was it you said? Loose footstool or
dangerous?
Oh, dangerous footstool.
Loose. Loose stool. Yeah, it's a bunch of old guys.
Yeah, we were Crohn's talking about disease. What a band's name would be earlier. Yeah, Skipper's was dangerous.
Footstool. Dangerous footstool.
Uh-oh, did I just say Midday Sports Zone? It's the Bill Shank Show. Producer Chris asked me if I said midday. He's fine.
He's not here. It's whatever you want it to be.
It's like I've got like a swear jar back at the station that I get fined for every time I say it. Yep. He says I said it. I almost said it in the promo yesterday, but I caught myself. Anyway, it's the Bill Shank Show. Russ Brown and Skip Sato with you this afternoon.
And I messed up your promo. Shaking my head. You go, what?
I thought you were talking to me. I was like, what did I say? Because
like,
I obviously say the wrong thing all the time. So I just assumed I said something I wasn't supposed to. But anyway, we're here at the Shops at River Crossing Wild Wing Cafe on Riverside Drive in Macon, Georgia. Great spot to come get you something to eat, hang out, get you a post-work drink, a little beverage on a Friday afternoon, May the 3rd. Nice little afternoon out there, a little warm. Come get your weekend started off right, hang out, listen to a little sports talk, and we're taking you up to Braves baseball. Obviously, the big topic of conversation today is going to be, do the Braves throw at Jose Urena? We'd love to hear your thoughts on that, 478-646-ESPN. If anywhere you want to go in the world of sports is fine with us. I guess, Skipper, really, my question for you is, all right, Skip Sato is the starting pitcher for the Atlanta Braves tonight.
Darn right.
And Jose Urena steps into the batter's box. When do you throw at him? Is it right out of the gate?
Right out of the bat. I hit him with my best stuff, 42-mile-an-hour fastball.
Ow!
And I'll be lucky if it makes it to his ankle. But I hit him. Fastball right down the pipe so he cannot get out of the way.
Do you think this – I mean, seriously, do you think they'll actually throw at him tonight? If you had to guess right now, if you had to lay, let's say, put a wager on it, do the Atlanta Braves throw at Jose Urena? What do you say right now? What is your gut telling you?
No.
I'm thinking the same thing, man.
And I hate it.
Because it seems like every year we have this conversation and we have this build-up. And when are they going to do it? Will they do it at first pitch? Will they throw a couple pitches and then do it? Will it be the second time he comes to the plate? Will they wait till he gets to Atlanta? And we have all this build-up and all this talk about it, and then nothing ever happens.
Well, I mean, World War II, you know, France, they were appeasers. And look at what happened to France. You don't get anywhere by appeasing. You get places by being aggressive, by saying, okay, you know, if you draw a line in the sand, you better damn well keep that line drawn. And if they cross it, you knock them back across that line. You know, you got to demand respect. And you know what? If they hit him, then everybody else is going to go, okay, we cannot take liberties with this young man, nor any of the old men, because they're going to come get us. You know? Get his butt. Don't pussyfoot around. Knock him on his ass. You know? And if he gets up and says something, then jump on him with fist and beat him bloody. In deep abiding Christian love, of course.
But, of course.
You
of
know,
course, yes.
But, you know, you got to teach him a lesson, man. You got to teach him a lesson. Because you know what? If you don't, this jackass wins. And I don't like that.
Well, and then also, too, I mean, isn't this about, you know, kind of protecting your space a little bit?
Yeah, it's about protecting your space a lot of bit. And look, we got him for 10 years.
Yeah?
We got him for 10 years. Okay, we're going to protect him when he's in year one of the contract. You don't want to screw with him in year five.
Right.
You know, because we may get two pitchers out there to throw at you at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to do something. But you don't let this go, man. This is, you're not just sending a message to him. You're sending a message to everybody in that league. Don't do it. Because you know what? He did that when he was a rookie. how good is this boy going to be? That's not the best thing he's ever going to do in his career.
I hope not.
So when he gets better and something better than that and streaks better than that happen, people think back to this and go, okay, how bad do I want it?
Yeah.
You know, and you stay away from him. You got to teach him. And you tell him it's okay to be very, very good because we got your back. Mm-hmm. And you tell that to everybody else. You tell that to Austin Riley, all of them. You know, and you know who else needs to know it? Albies. You better protect my friend. But the way Albies is hitting the ball, I want people to know we'll protect him.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that little scoundrel is good.
Yeah. No, he's
so
good.
So I get fired up about this.
Yeah, I can tell. I like that. I like the passion. And I hope we see some of that same passion on the field tonight from the Atlanta Braves. Sometimes if you're in a scuffle or a fight or whatever the case may be, I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody listening, but some of us, I'll say it that way, some of us have probably found ourselves in a situation where maybe you're out with your buddies or maybe it was during a sporting event when you played in high school or middle school or little league or rec ball or whatever, and your teammate does something stupid. Or your buddy says something stupid or says something to the wrong guy's girlfriend or whatever. And that's your buddy, so you don't want him to get hurt and you're going to have his back. But your heart's not in it.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is not that situation. This is a situation where somebody went after your guy because he's good.
Right.
Not because he showed up the pitcher, not because he watched a home run, not because he slow trotted in around the bases. He threw a Ronald Acuna because he was afraid he couldn't get him out.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of things in baseball that they're trying to change with the bat flips and celebrations and things of that nature to try to loosen it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some growing pains that are associated with that. And that's a discussion I think we could have one day this summer. I mean, do you think that's the right thing to do? Do you think that's okay? Do you think that's a good thing? Do you think that's a bad thing? But to me, this is not that discussion. You cannot sit there and let somebody just throw at your teammate.
No.
Just because they're good. You've got to stand up.
Yes.
And it's not to the Marlins, which is why you don't throw at their best player. You don't throw at another pitcher. It's this guy. It's Jose Urena. That's right. Your target, not the Miami Marlins.
Right. And I think that's something very good to point out because usually that's what you do. You go after the best player because that's more of a team. It's more of a team transgression in a lot of ways. This was not. This was totally, totally him.
Yeah.
You know, but now his manager backed him up. His manager backed him up, but he backed him up after the fact. But if he backs him up after the fact, probably the next night I go after the best player, and then I wait on Urbina to come back and go after him.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what Don Mattingly said last year.
I remember
year,
cussing the television.
But I remember I was a little bit surprised because I was thinking he was going to come out and say something to the effect of, that's not who we are. That's not what we're about. That young man's got to learn how to be more professional. And he didn't say anything along those lines. I think as time went on, I think I understood as a manager, he's standing up for his player. So, okay. Which is why if the Braves do actually throw at Jose Urena, if he puts his head down and goes to first base and that's the end of it, that's the end of it. But you're right. If something does happen tonight and Don Mattingly's tone is the same after the game, I mean, he could really – does he become the most hated opposing manager since Bobby Valentine?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Because then it's not about Jose Urena. Then it's about the Miami Marlins.
Right. Now I start headhunting because I don't like Miami anyway. I never have.
And then what becomes an interesting first at bat somewhere in the second or third inning tonight becomes an interesting weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Then all of this becomes must-see television. We'd love to hear your thoughts, 478-646-ESPN. I guess the question we're really asking is, do you think the Atlanta Braves will throw? And you can give us your feelings on what you would do in the situation as well. We'd love to hear your thoughts. But the real question I guess I'm asking is, do you think the Atlanta Braves will throw at Jose Urena? And I think both of us are saying our gut tells us no, that's probably not going to happen. So we'll just have to wait and see what plays out tonight. Yeah. If it doesn't happen,
I'm going to be disappointed. I tell you what, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be pissed off if it doesn't happen.
I am.
Are you?
Yeah. I mean, because I don't know. It's
Snicker may be dead to me. Can you imagine?
No, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I mean, I'll be disappointed. I don't know if I'll be pissed. I won't be surprised, I guess, is why I wouldn't be pissed, because I almost expect them not to. And I guess I've just kind of gotten used to that, because there's a lot of different reasons why. You know, we've had people chime in and say,
logic says.
Well, we've had people chime in and say, look, this bullpen's terrible. You're having them, now they've got to cover, you know, 6 or 7 innings of the game. Gausman's going to get suspended. You know, we've got question marks in the rotation with Folty right now, who's uncomfortable with his slider, and his velocity's not where it used to be. You know, and plus it's the first game of a long road trip. They don't have another day off for about 2.5 weeks. I mean, there's a lot of reasons people would say you don't do this, but you don't want to have negative long-term effects. That's for sure. And one guy yesterday, Jared, even said, you know, is this worth losing the East for? So he's thinking if you do this, you know, it could cost him the East. But I also think there could be some negative long-term effects if you don't stand up for yourself. I mean, this is going to be a hotly contested division. And if you just kind of take it and don't know how to respond when one of your guys gets thrown at or brushed back, what do you think is going to happen in August and July, August, September, when you're playing Washington in a big series or you're playing the Phillies in a big series? What do you think their pitchers are going to do if they feel like they can push you around a little bit?
When the stakes are maybe not higher but tighter, when the stakes are more obvious than they are now, it's going to be harder to do it then. You know, you can't go back and do things like this.
Yeah.
You got to take care of business when business needs to be taken care of.
Right.
And that is now.
Right, you don't want teams to think they can put one under your chin and then everybody's going to look confused wondering what to do.
Yeah.
Going forward. But that's just my two cents. Let's get to the phones now. 478-646 ESPN. Would love to hear your thoughts on tonight's Braves game. Do you think the Braves will throw at Jose Urena? And also, what would you do in this situation? We'll start with Keith in Macon. Hey Keith, how you doing?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Enjoy the show.
Hey, thanks for calling, man.
I'm going to be disappointed. I mean, I totally expect Gausman, the first time he comes up, to hit him right in the middle of the back. This is one of 162 games. You send a message. You know, I don't see, you know, and I'm not going to go old school. This is just one of those things. This kid did nothing wrong. They hit him. We didn't get a chance to retaliate. If we lose tonight, oh, well, send a damn message to the league that it's not going to be tolerated. I mean, we've got too many young stars that plays, you know, they're enthusiastic. The game's changed somewhat. You know, it's okay for them to be excited. You know, this old crap about you can't show up a pitcher, even, I don't think he even showed up the pitcher, but still, I think that needs to go away. If you throw it up there and he hits it out of the damn park, it's your job to get him out. So, if they don't hit him, I will be disappointed. I'll turn it off. I will turn it off.
Wow.
I think this is one of those things I expect Brian McCann and that type of leadership in this locker room to take care of. I don't think nobody should have to tell Gausman to hit the guy. He should go hit him. And we need to have somebody like Tukey or somebody ready to step in and pitch. But that's my thought. A little passionate about it, but I think it's just one of those things that's black and white. But anyway, enjoy the show. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Keith, hey, appreciate the phone call, man. Skipper, you were wanting to say
something?
Thanks,
Keith. Yeah, one thing he said about, you know, that he didn't think he'd showed up a pitcher or anything like that. One thing's for sure, he hadn't showed up that pitcher.
Right.
Because that pitcher's never seen him.
Sure.
You know? Who cares if he did it? He's a Marlin. Who cares if he showed up and he didn't? But who cares if he shows up a Phillies pitcher? He's a Marlin. You know? It's not like, oh, well, he could show me up, so I'm going to hit him. I'm going to be preemptive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right, right now, Keith is Skip's caller of the day.
Keith is Skip's
and
caller of the day.
All the glory that comes with that.
478-646 ESPN. Keith, we could definitely hear your passion coming through the phone there. And I think that's how a lot of people feel about it because, like, all right, here's the thing. As far as, you know, the bat flips and admiring your home runs and things of that nature becoming more a part of Major League Baseball. you know, I would say if you hit a home run and flip your bat, or if you admire a home run, there may be a pitcher that takes issue with it, and there may be some retribution. And then maybe for some pitchers it doesn't bother them at all. And I just think you just kind of have to let that play out the way it plays out and let the chips fall where they may. But as Keith pointed out, that's not this situation. The other thing, too, is last year after this incident, Major League Baseball suspended Urena for 6 games. Of course, the suspension was appealed because they're just trying to line up their rotation. I understand why. But that's the other thing, too. I don't think the punishment for pitchers is harsh enough in this situation. A 6-game suspension for a starting pitcher is 1 start.
Right.
If it's a position player that you suspend 5 games, that's 5 games.
That's right. That's right. You know, and Major League Baseball's position on this, he's already been punished. You don't need to take matters into your own hands. He hasn't been punished enough. You know, punish him for a month. Get him out of there for a month. You know, then it's like, okay, I may not need to do anything because Major League Baseball actually grew some, you know, and did something about it. But the thing is, if McCann takes matters into his own hands or something like that, he'll get suspended for 5 or 6 games, and he'll spend 5 or 6 games because we need him.
Yeah, well, we do. We absolutely do. Well, I'm kind of scrolling through Twitter right now. I'm sure there'll be a meeting here. The pregame show will start at 5:55 here on the Superstation's first pitch. From, what do they call it, Marlins Park down there. I can't even remember the names anymore because they always change with the sponsorships. But they'll start at 7:10 will be the first pitch. That's not the pitch we're most interested in. Interesting take also, if you're Jose Urena in this situation, do you get ahead of the game and go ahead and throw at somebody on the Braves and get yourself tossed before they can throw at you?
Well, that would be funny.
I don't know if we'd see that tonight. And I mean, surely before the game, these guys have got to be asked about this, right? I'm sure this will come up in the pregame conversation with manager Brian Snitker.
Well, Acuna's coming up before he is. Probably. You know? If you're Acuna, does the bat slip out of your hand?
I just don't think that's his personality.
I don't either. That'd be my personality.
Yeah. Oops.
Oops. Sorry. Whop.
I hope the first pitch, yesterday I said this, I'll say it again, I hope the first pitch is either right back up the middle about 7 feet off the ground or about 550 feet when Acuna comes up to the plate.
Yeah.
I hope that's where he hits it. You know, I was actually talking to the boy last night, and he said the same thing. It's interesting to kind of get the human glimpse into this because I don't preach violence or anything like that at my house.
Yeah.
I was just like, do you remember last year when they threw at our player? He was like, yeah. I said, well, that pitcher's pitching tomorrow night. He goes, oh, I hope Ronald Acuna hits one right back at his head. Because he tried to hurt our guy.
Yeah.
That's what this comes down to.
But now, if I'm Urbina, I don't hit him, but I get close. I pitch on the inside of that plate. You know, I dare him to step into it.
Well, if you put yourself in Jose Urena's shoes, you can't go out there and pitch scared.
No. No, you can't.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go out there thinking, oh, man, these guys might throw at me. I better not do anything to ruffle any feathers. I mean, you got to go out there and play your game.
Yeah, you have to, you know. Now, as soon as it happens, you're going to hear the, you know, but that's what he has to do. You know, if not, then he's a wimp.
Yeah. Pretty much. Well, it's going to be an anticipated start. We are less than 3 hours away now from the first pitch. Again, we'll have the postgame show starting for you. Coming up here on the Superstation, or the pregame show. We'll have the postgame show, too. But the pregame show will start in about an hour and a half right here on the Superstations. We'll be taking your phone calls up until that point. 478-646-ESPN is the number if you want to join in on the conversation. We're live here at the Wild Wing Cafe. Shops at River Crossing in Macon, Georgia. Tonight on the stage will be Ethan Payne, and then tomorrow Throttle 21 will take the stage here at the Wild Wing Cafe. Plenty of great food, cafu. Plenty of great food here. I don't know what I'm going with tonight, man. You started talking about those sriracha chicken.
Those things are good, man.
That's good.
And here's the thing: when you get home, they're hotter than when they leave here.
Really?
Yeah, they sit for a little while.
Has a chance.
I've taken them home and eaten them the next day, and they will tear you up. They're good.
All right, I have to look into that. The cheeseburgers here are good. I hadn't had one of those. They also have these sliders on the menu that are really good. Have you had those?
Yeah.
If you're into onions and pickles and stuff like that, you'll like the sliders.
I've had the you know, you're talking about the hot shots. I really like the hot shots.
Oh, yeah. That's the spicy cheese and sausage. Know, oh.
But like, we may have to get some hot shots to
– Get you some hot shots.
We
had
to get
man.
Some hot shots just – You know, kind of like we did the chicken and dumplings yesterday.
Just a little taste, a little flavor.
God.
A little something to snack on.
Yeah, exactly.
That never hurt nobody.
No.
478-646-ESPN is the number. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the Braves, the NBA playoffs, Kentucky Derby, wherever you want to go in the world of sports is fine with us. And we're yes, sir.
Soccer.
Skip will answer your soccer questions. He's a big soccer aficionado.
That was very enjoyable yesterday.
Yeah, we got into soccer and rugby. How did that happen? We'll try not to do that today. It's Friday. We'll try to stick to the big three. Horse racing's really not the big three, but the Derby's this weekend, so it kind of slides
big three,
in there.
What is that? Horse racing, NASCAR?
No. Football, baseball, basketball.
Oh, yeah, those three.
Yeah, keep it
okay,
simple.
Those three.
478-646 ESPN, and we're back with more of the Bill Shank Show right after this. Sports 25, Russ Brown, Skip Sada back with you here on the Bill Shank Show, but you can call us out. We're live at the Wild Wing Cafe Shops at River Crossing in Macon, Georgia, where we are taking your phone calls today, 478-646-ESPN, with Jose Urena on the mound to face the Atlanta Braves for the first time since the beaning incident last season with Ronald Acuna. Before we get back to the phone calls, wanted to pass some information along. Jay on Twitter, appreciate you letting us know, buddy. Apparently, there's a traffic backup on 75 North between Cordill and Unadilla. So, and he said also says good news, 98.3 is coming in loud and clear. So that's good to hear. So for those of you listening on 98.3 in South Central Georgia, if you are headed north on 75 between Cordill and Unadilla, maybe find an alternate route. Waze is the way to go, right? I mean, just wherever your destination is on a long trip, plug it in. They're going to get you there the fastest way.
Yeah. That's a bad little stretch to be going around right there, though, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there might not
There's
be
not
a whole
lot
of places
lot of options.
To get around there.
Yeah.
You can go ahead and order on there. It's
hold
fine.
Hold on a second.
We do it all the time. In the meantime, we'll get to a phone call, 478-646-ESPN. Benji and Perry's on the line. What's up, Benji? How you doing?
I'm getting a little better. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing all right, man. What's on your mind?
I tell you, man, like we talked yesterday about we got to get back to the arena, man. But we got to win the series. It's very crucial for us to win majority of the games against the Marlins, especially in this competitive East. I mean, that's first and foremost, and we can't sugarcoat it that he's got what. He's got coming, however we get it across to him. And that's kind of why I was saying about possibly getting him in a bunt situation and throw at him then. Or wouldn't it be so nice if Acuna come up and lay down a bunt right along the first base line where Urena picked it up and he could just old school Herschel Walk run him over, kind of like the Tennessee safety Herschel run over years ago, and get back that way to where Major League Baseball can. Serve the fines or suspensions, and the umpires can't, which they probably as quick-tempered as these umpires are nowadays, probably throw Acuna out for doing so. But we got to be smart about it. Yes, he deserves one in his ear hole, preferably his left cheek or whichever side he bats from. But you got to be smart. We got to win the series, and we got to keep our bullpen in the bullpen. You know what I mean? I know we called Tukey up today for – probably for whatever's going to happen, but we can't lose Gausman for a few days, you know, a few starts or however it's going to work out, because this series is going to be crucial. As long as the record that we got in the division that we're in is, we got to win ball games.
Yeah. All right, man. Hey, appreciate the phone call. And Skip, see, that's kind of what we were talking about, the other side of the coin, if you will. And by the way, Tukey Toussaint has been called up. That is in response to Shane Carl being optioned down to AAA. I don't think the Braves made that move specifically because of what could happen tonight. I really don't. It is convenient. I will say that. But that's kind of the other side of this coin. And Benji's right. This is an important series because when you look at the National League East, right now you've got the four teams you expected kind of bunched up within four games of each other. Phillies in first, New York's in second, Atlanta third, Washington fourth. And we all kind of knew the Marlins were going to be the odd man out here in this division. They're eight games out of first place. So the season's playing out pretty much the way we thought it would so far. That being said, when you have these series against the Miami Marlins, it is imperative that you win the series, because I even predicted before the season started, Skipper, the winner of the East could be the team with the best record against Miami.
Yeah.
You know, some teams may come into the series and be like, man, it's such a battle in this division week in and week out. Every series is huge. Every series is important. Here comes Miami. We can take a break. The team that's going to win the division is the one that's going to go, here comes Miami. Let's step on their throat.
Well, and you're probably right about that. You know, there's a good chance you're right about that. But just because you hit Urbina does not mean that you're going to lose this series. You know, and I hate to disagree with Benji, but you know what? Everything he said was this could or this maybe or this should. And, he's right. All of those things could happen. But they don't have to happen. But in my opinion, and, you know, my opinion is very well respected at my mother's house. But in my opinion.
Let's get us respected somewhere.
One thing that I know is that if we don't protect our ball players, we're going to lose respect.
See, that's what I worry about.
That's going to happen. Period.
Yeah, you're right. It is going to happen. And
the other stuff may happen.
Yeah. We said earlier in the show, it could be six of one, half a dozen the other. The reality is, no matter what happens tonight, it's probably not going to have a long-term effect, but it could have a long-term effect if somebody gets suspended and then it costs you two or three games and then, you know, you lose the division by four games. Okay, yeah, you could look back on this and say that cost you the division. But by the same token, to what you're saying, if teams don't respect you and your guys don't know how to respond when they're brushed back or it gets them off their game, it gets in their head, however you want to say it,
right.
If you don't fight back,
it's
then that's
cost
what teams,
you anyway.
Right, that could cost you. So it's kind of tough. And then the emotional part of this, too, is something I think we have to think about. Because if you remember, this happened early in the game. I mean, this was right out of the gate.
Oh, yeah, it was first pitch.
So Brian Snicker gets tossed. So the brouhaha happens. Everybody gets thrown out of the game. They go back to the clubhouse. Order's restored. And then a baseball game is played, right? So after the baseball game, the media goes down the elevator into the tunnel. They wait outside the clubhouse till it's open up for interviews. They go in to interview Brian Snicker, and this man is still emotional and almost in tears.
Oh, yeah.
So don't think this was like don't think there's not a lingering feeling here from this organization. You hear it from the fans, for sure. I guarantee you there's guys in that clubhouse that feel that way.
Oh, yeah.
And I would love to have been a fly on the wall in that plane on the way down to Miami to hear what some of these guys are talking about, because you know it's been a topic of conversation.
I would have to say, of course it has. You know, and I'm telling you, y'all saw it just like we did. If they hadn't grabbed a hold of Snit, I know Urbina's younger and all like that. He better be mean, because Snit was a catcher, and he was pissed, son. He was ready. He was ready to do battle.
He really was.
He really was.
And he was leading the charge, which, yep. Again, like I said earlier, that's
sad that he had to.
That should be a player, and I don't think that's going to be. If something does happen tonight, I guarantee you it's not
going to
be him.
You said that about the player, I agree. But that team at that time, who on that team was actually – you got to discount the kids.
Right.
So who on that team as a player was actually in a position or had enough collateral built up to be that person? Freddie? It's not going to happen. Markakis? I don't think that's in his nature. Tyler Flowers? Suzuki?
Yeah.
Those two, I would say, yeah.
Yeah. And it's usually going to be a catcher, right?
But who else?
That's about it. Because everybody else is either a kid or a Preston Tucker type trying to find a full-time job.
Exactly.
At 27 years old.
Exactly.
Just trying to hang on to a major league career.
You got Culberson. Culberson is like the nicest guy on earth, you know? Well, if I'd have known he was going to hit you, Ronald, I'd have run up and gotten in the way, you know? I mean, there was not a lot of confrontational people on there. Now, Suzuki was pretty hot-headed, if I recall. Suzuki was pretty animated during that fight, too. But everybody kind of paled in comparison to Snit, you know. This year, I don't think it's the same type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, this year, they're waiting on it.
Yeah.
And you know, Tyler Flowers is a big old hoss.
He is.
If Tyler Flowers don't come unglued, he's dead to me.
Are you going to be around Monday? Because I'd really love to.
You know,
after this goes down, I'd really love to.
I was thinking
a minute
ago, I wish we had a Saturday show.
Yeah, you know, I mean, really.
Or you don't just, let's just go Facebook Live from the houses at about 10 o'clock tonight.
I don't know if I should do that.
They don't cut you off the air for cussing on Facebook Live.
Oh, they don't? Oh, we're good. Yeah, we're rock and roll. No, I don't know what's going to happen tonight. And Benji makes good points. I'm not discounting what he's saying.
No, I just don't agree with his points. I agree they're good points, and I agree they could happen. I just don't think that's the way we need to go.
Yeah. It just seems so early in the year. I don't think that you could do long-term damage, but you don't want to get anybody hurt. You don't want to get anybody suspended for too long a period of time. But at the same time, you can't. Ronald Acuna didn't do anything to get thrown at. That's what I keep going back to. You know, I could rationalize this thing and talk myself out of it to a point, but then that's what I run into. He didn't do anything.
What if you throw at him, throw at Urbina, he gets out of the way, doesn't look at you, doesn't acknowledge it, gets back in there, and gets ready to hit. Do you throw at him a second time?
Yeah.
See, me too.
Yeah, I mean, he hit my guy. He didn't almost hit my guy. He hit my guy. Exactly.
Well, forgive and forget, you know. I'll hit you, I'll forgive you, then I'll hit you, and then I'll forget about it.
That's it. And then he puts his head down and goes to first base, and hopefully that's the end of it. We don't have to have this conversation again.
And when he goes to first base, Freddie can go, I know you're really not a bad person. Here's a hug.
Right. We got Major League Baseball's ambassador sitting on first base
exactly.
Waiting on him. Problem solved.
Golly.
Problem solved. My goodness. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen tonight? We'll have all the action for you here. And again, I would imagine around 5 o'clock or so is when they'll have kind of their pregame get-together there in the dugout with the coaches and kind of keeping an eye on Twitter to see if there are any comments out of Atlanta to talk about that specifically. And I would imagine, there's oftentimes people will rag on the beat writers that cover the Atlanta Braves because for big stories, contract extensions and things like that, the national media will have it first. And I will say this, those guys are more down in the weeds on the day-to-day stuff, who got optioned, who's got called up, who's the scheduled starter in 2 days, you know, is Donaldson back in the lineup? So that's not really – the big picture stuff may not really be what they're chasing down on their beat. They got to ask about this, though, right?
Well, if I'm a beat writer, and that is what I'm usually doing, and that is what they're usually doing, man, I'm loving this. Loving this because I'm going to get a chance to write about something that is exciting. I'm going to get a chance to write about something that could put me on the map if I do well, you know, instead of just like Shane Carl got sent down. Let me tell you the effects of Shane Carl getting sent down. Yeah, we're not going to suck as bad in the bullpen. You know, this... You know, they could do something good for themselves and actually write something interesting. You know?
I'll be curious to see if he's asked about it in the pregame. I mean, he's got to be. It was talked about on television. It's been talked about on radio. I mean, my dander got up the first time because I hadn't really looked that far ahead in terms of who's starting because I was kind of looking at the Padres series. I think it was Wednesday was the first time I realized he's going to be on the mound. And I mean, I kind of sat up.
Oh, yeah, I've been fired up ever since.
You know, and I'm not even in the fray, so to speak. So, Skipper, what you got over there?
Uh-huh.
Get you a little snack.
Got some hot shots, which I'm certainly going to share with you.
All right. I'll do one or two or three.
Got some kind of sauce there that goes on them. Yeah, that's good stuff, man. I've had it before.
The hot shots here at Wild Wing Cafe, one of the many appetizers they have that are very good. It's a spicy sausage with cheese fried up for you. It's really good.
I'm gonna take a bite. You ready?
Yeah, get on it.
Ho!
Is it doing you good?
Good and hot.
Good and hot. Fresh now, and ready to eat. There you go.
If I'm snit and they ask me, I don't answer the question. You gotta ask it.
That's kind of how you play the game, right?
Exactly.
They've got to ask the question. But if you're Brian Snicker, what do you say? No, I don't. We haven't talked about it.
Exactly.
Whether you have or you haven't, that's your answer. We haven't talked about it.
I'm not worried about that. That's old history. We got a game to play. We got a division to win. Wow. Who knew?
No, I didn't
cut away from him.
Yeah. Oh, the ball slipped out of his hand. Somebody check that rosin bag. We'll see how it plays out. Phone lines are open, 478-646-ESPN. We'd love to get your thoughts as well. We're live at the Wild Wing Cafe at the Shops of River Crossing. We're going to take a break, eat some hot shots, back with more sports talk right after this. .443, Russ Brown, Skip Sada back with you here on the Bill Shank Show. We're live at the Wild Wing Cafe, Shops at River Crossing in Macon, enjoying some hot shots there during the break. I'm telling you, if you order the hot shots, the sauce that they come with to dip it in, oh my.
It's like a honey. I'm not a big honey mustard person, but it's,
yeah,
it's got like a little bit of, it's kind of got a honey mustardy feel to it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. We need to ask.
We should find out. It's almost like, and it's got some, there's a lot going on in that sauce.
Yeah.
It's got a kind of a sweet kick to it, too.
Yeah, it's just.
And when you put it with those spicy, that spicy sausage and cheese, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's tough.
That's a solid combo.
The hot shots are like almost like a cheesy sausage hush puppy.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Are you ever eating sausage balls?
Yeah.
Like a spicy sausage ball.
Kind of like, but they're like more
hush puppy-ish.
Hush puppy-ish. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, they're.
Because they've got the
sausage
the
balls and hush
outside.
Puppies had a baby.
It'd be hot shots.
It'd be these.
That's it. There we go. Back to the phones we go. 478-646-ESPN. James is in Macon. Hey, James, how you doing?
Doing good. I had a couple comments real quick. The two picks that y'all are saying that the Hawks may have, maybe a 4 and a 7 or 4 and a 9, would
yeah.
you trade both of them for the number one pick?
If they could do it, I would go for Zion Williamson in a heartbeat. Absolutely. I don't know if that would be possible because I have a feeling whoever does get the number one pick is going to go with Zion. But, yes, James, I would do that in a heartbeat.
All right, one more. If we have a good brawl tonight because of Don Mattingly's attitude last time, does somebody go and throw a punch at him if they clear the benches?
Oh, boy, wow. That's a good question, James. I think if he sticks his nose in there, yeah. Because usually the managers would be off limits, but we've seen if they put themselves in the middle of it, then yeah. And you want to see something that it would really get players going, throw a punch at a manager or a coach.
Right.
If somebody throws a snicker, that is the one thing that will get Markakis and Freddie in it.
Yeah. In a heartbeat.
Markakis and Freddie love Snicker.
Yeah. No, I think, James, you know what? I think so. I think and James mentioned his attitude last year in his postgame comments. I've always been a Don Mattingly fan. When I was a kid growing up, I always played first base in Little League. So I love first baseman. Don Mattingly. I mean, the Yankees suck, so I didn't know anything about, you know, the Yankees were supposed to be good. I just loved Donnie Baseball. I was a fan. And when he said what he said after that game, I'll be honest with you, it took me a couple days to come around to, you know what, he's sticking up for his guy, and I can respect that on some level. But it took me a couple days.
But okay, but if he can't get involved in it, and if he does, well, he'll have to fight his snicker first. I'd kind of like to see it.
But an old man fight, yeah.
Yeah, an old man. Hey, neither one of them have any quit in them.
No,
you know.
No, I mean, I think
when you get hurt breaking that one up.
I mean, you got a few years on me, but I'm kind of getting to that age to where, like, I'm a very patient person, but when it runs out, it's out.
Well,
I mean, there's no.
Well, I've heard somebody say one time the thing about fighting with old men, okay? Young men fight because, you know, they have to fight and prove themselves and all like it. You know, old guys got mortgages, health insurance. They don't have anything to prove by fighting. They just want to fight to end without them dead.
That's pretty, I mean, self-preservation,
so
right?
Whatever.
That's all it is.
Anything goes.
Whatever it takes. By any means necessary.
Exactly.
I'm walking away from this.
Exactly.
I'm not provoking anything. I'm not starting anything. But by God, I'll finish it.
He bit me. You're darn right. You know, he kicked me where he shouldn't have. You're darn right. He picked up a, yes, he did. You know. I mean, you know, they still think they can do everything with their hands, and they're probably right. So you pick up something close.
Yeah.
You know, he hit me with the umpire.
I don't know how much college basketball you watch this year outside of your Yellow Jackets, but the other question James had there, and by the way, James referenced the 4th and the 9th pick. We did a simulation on the Tankathon, and that's what it spit out. It could be We don't know what the two picks are going to be. Obviously, we won't know that until May the 14th. But let's say the Hawks do end up with, in that scenario, the fourth and the ninth pick. If you had the opportunity to package those two picks and go get the number one overall pick for Zion Williamson, would you do it?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's that good. You better be damn sure, because you're staking your franchise for a long time on that, you know?
Yeah.
But I think I'd do it.
I think he's a once in a generation
player. And you know
what? Player.
I think the person who traded him away, boy, he
– Yeah.
At least if you do it, you make a mistake trying to get the best. Mm-hmm. If you give it away – and then he winds up being what he could be. Man, I don't know. When's the last time you saw somebody coming out of college that you thought was this good?
Anthony Davis, which is more recent. And then you said coming out of college. I mean, you'd have to go way back, because there was that stretch there where the LeBron James of the world didn't have to go to college.
Yeah.
So, I mean, gosh, I'd really have to sit down and look back at some
old drafts.
And
even LeBron James. I mean, obviously, he was very good. He's still good. He was everything you thought he was going to be. Mm-hmm. But he had never played against top, really, really, really top. He was still – anybody right out of high school is still a little bit of an unknown.
Sure.
I mean, this guy's – he's as close to a known commodity as you can get.
And his instinct – his basketball instincts are off the charts.
And he's
that's
huge.
That's the thing. That's, I mean, it's the athleticism – you know, Anthony. I mentioned Anthony Davis. One of the reasons I was so intrigued with him is because he was one of those guys that in his high school career was mostly a shooting guard. So he had developed some really good shooting skills, passing skills, those type fundamentals. But then he had one of those late growth spurts and shot up to 7 feet. and so he's got great athleticism, great awareness, and it makes him a special player in my mind. Zion Williamson, you know, you look at guys that LeBron James, a guy that big, shouldn't move that fast. Or you see guys that are just freakish athletes that kind of get into professional sports based off of that. But maybe they're just really freakish athletes. They're not necessarily
they don't have to
refined
learn the game.
When it comes to the game.
Right.
Zion Williamson is both of those. His basketball IQ, his instincts, he's got all of that.
Yeah.
And the man's 6'7", 285 pounds, and moves like he's 6'2", 180 pounds. But then you also have those guys that you see that get in the league, especially as a player starts to get older. Maybe they lose a step or two and they get by on their basketball IQ, so to speak. Oh, by the way, he's got that too.
Right.
And that's why I think he's such a special player. I don't think anybody would take that trade, to be honest with you. And I think whoever gets the number one pick is taking Zion Williamson is not looking back. Stan Van Gundy said it best. He was on the Dan Le Batard show, and they asked him, do you think a team would pass on Zion Williamson with the number one overall pick? And he said, there's no way. And he said the number one reason why is because no general manager in the National Basketball Association wants to take the podium the next day and explain to his fan base why they didn't take that kid.
You're right. You're right. I mean, that's, you know, that's just the way it is, you know. And I think he's that good.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, if he's not – unbelievable as a pro, he's pretty much going to be a bust. He has to be the best in the league, or else he's going to be a bust. Yeah. That is a lot of pressure for a young man.
Jay on Twitter with a good one. You asked the question, when's the last time you saw a player this polished coming out of college? Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Jay throws out Tim Duncan. That's a good one, Jay. Yeah.
Yep.
And Duncan was, I want to say he was a sophomore or a junior. So he had a little more polish. But I think, you know, especially in that tournament, watching Zion Williamson, it gets to a point, what going back to school for him, what does that accomplish?
Yeah.
I mean, from a basketball standpoint, I mean, I've always said, look, these kids, if you're good enough to be drafted, I mean, I think Zion Williamson was good enough to be a lottery pick coming out of high school.
Yeah.
Maybe not the number one overall pick. If you're good enough to be drafted that high, go do it. Because here's the thing. You blow out your knee, you rupture an Achilles, something happens to end your basketball career, you can go back to school.
Exactly.
You've only got so many years you can play basketball.
You got enough money, you can go back to school. Exactly.
Right.
And, you know, I hope he does.
Sure.
I think a lot of them do.
Yeah, a lot of guys, you see that. And especially, I mean, just after their playing careers are over, I mean, I always ask the question, because – I'm a little bit older now, but, you know, you see these guys retiring at 34, 35 years old. You got your whole life the rest of the way to go. What are you going to do with it?
Fish.
No, I mean,
you mean them. I don't know.
I'm with you, fish. I've got it all mapped out. I'm on a ranch in Montana. I'm neighbors with Ted Turner. You may never hear from me again. No, I've got mine figured out. But, yeah. But you know, what do you do? Go back to school, start a business? Who knows? I mean, you could do a number of different things, but I've always said you can always go back to school. Everybody sitting in this bar right now can go back to school. Nobody sitting in this bar right now can play in the NBA.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I'm looking around. Yeah, no, I'm not seeing any NBA draft prospects in here.
So you're just going by appearances.
Pretty much, yeah.
But, yeah.
I'm not seeing a lot of verticals in here. Sorry.
I don't know. Our waitress, she's tall.
She is tall. She looks more like a volleyball player. I don't even know what her name is. We should ask her what her name is so we can tell people to come sit in her section since she's taking such good care of us. Getting those hot shots out here. Did you finish them off? Attaboy.
Yes, yeah. Man. You stopped reaching. That's it.
Well, you were the one that ordered them. I wasn't going to eat all your hot shots. I appreciate you sharing with me.
This is a very, you know, Alexandria Cortez table. Mine is yours. Yours is mine. It's a socialist table when it comes to hot shots.
Now I'm worried about you. What was in those hot shots?
Here she's back right here.
What's your name? Bethany. So come to Wild Wing Cafe. Sit in Bethany's section.
In Bethany's section.
She'll take good care of you.
And
leave her lots of really big tips.
I think a setter.
Volleyball.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about dogs there for a second. I was like, an Irish setter? What? I got confused. Which is easy to do. It's easy to confuse me. We got to take a break for the top of the hour. 478-646 ESPN, talking Braves baseball, taking you up to the pregame show, which gets underway 1 hour from right now. We're back with more of the Bill Shank Show right after this.